You know, we can tiptoe through the tulips, and we can skip the church on Sunday morning, hear a sermonette by a preacherette, smoking a cigarette, and leaving driving the Corvette, right? So, you know, we can come and just have a nice little service and leave and go on our way. But we need to realize that around the world, people are being persecuted and they're suffering for their faith. And that when they get baptized, you know, it's not just, well, I'm going down into the water and I'm around a bunch of friendly individuals and, you know, they're going to clap when I go down and come up. But I'm doing what? I'm identifying with Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Reasons I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Reasons I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ.
So what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Because if we're going to talk about reasons why I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, I just want to take a second and answer that question. What is a disciple? In Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 of the New American Standard Bible, it says in and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so this is a verse that many of us have memorized and we quote often, but I want to break this verse down into two elements, if you'll go to that next slide. Okay, when we look at this verse, what two elements stick out the strongest? And you know, we've heard Matthew 28 preached time and time again by various preachers, teachers, individuals. But what is the essence? And some of the things that I'm going to say, maybe you've never considered before. But what is the essence of this? What is the essence of it? Well, the first thing, and you know, as I was studying it yesterday, It really jumped out at me and came to life. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what the essence of that is? Identification. Identification. If you go back to that the slide before, notice what he says. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So what is the key there? The key is to make disciples. And what is one thing that you do when you're making disciples? You baptize. That seems to be a key thing. So I believe that, and I'm going to show you this in a second, I believe that as he's talking about this, he's talking about something a lot deeper than water baptism. He says, make disciples, baptizing them. That's, if you go back to the next slide, that is identification with Jesus Christ. And the other important thing is to teaching them the commandments of Jesus, to observe the things Jesus said that I have commanded you. Those are the two key things. And I think that over the years, we have taken this and put it in a lot of other contexts and give it a lot of other interpretations. But the essence of what this verse is talking about is discipleship. And so Jesus, What is the thing that is the greatest on his heart? You know, thank God that we have a Bible Institute. You know, thank God that, you know, we have Wednesday studies and we have Sunday morning studies and we have studies throughout the week to be a part of what Jesus felt was the key to being a disciple. And that is teaching, identification, and teaching. If you go to that next slide. So when we look at baptism, and we think about three reasons for believers' baptism. And so what do we believe in here at Bethany Baptist Church? We believe in believers' baptism. That's why we don't baptize babies, right? People will come to me and they will say, Pastor, can you baptize my baby? No, we can't baptize your baby. And the reason is because we believe in believers' baptism. And that is, we baptize those individuals that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We believe that that's the New Testament model, especially as you look at the book of Acts. It says as many as believed were baptized. You look at Philip, when he led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, that the eunuch came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then after that, he was baptized. So we believe in believers' baptism. So what are three reasons for believers' baptism? Well, the first thing is obedience to the Lord's command, right? He said to go and baptize. So, you know, we want to be obedient. Second is identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So when we stand in the water, we identify with the death of Christ. When we go under the water, we identify with the burial of Christ. And when we come back up out of the water, we identify with the resurrection of Christ. So baptism helps us to do that. But notice the third thing, and this comes right out of Matthew 28, is that when you get baptized, you are identifying as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That whenever you stand in that water, go underneath and come up out of that water, you are saying, you are making a statement. I don't care how old you are or how young you are, that whenever you get baptized, you are making a statement that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. Baptized. The word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo. And what does it mean? It means to dip or immerse. You can't slice it. You can't fix it up any other way. The word baptized, the Greek word, actually means to immerse, to take beneath the water. You know, it's like the preacher, he was baptizing this one guy, and he took him down under the water, and he said, do you believe? And the guy, you know, couldn't catch his breath, so he couldn't say anything. He took him down again under the water, and he came up, and he said, do you believe? And he couldn't catch his breath, because the water was, you know, in his face and everything. So he took him down a third time and brought him up, and finally the guy caught his breath, and the preacher said, do you believe? He said, yeah, I believe you're trying to drown me. So baptism, now people that want to get, some people going to be getting baptized, they're going to get a little scared. No, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. You know, baptism is not, you know, for that purpose. But, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is that when you think about baptism and the whole idea of immersion, that it means to be baptized, to dip underneath the water. So now watch this. Don't miss this. This is the key, right? When a person is immersed in baptism, what are they immersed into? Okay, when you get baptized, you are immersed. And I think that we need to begin to change our thinking on this whole idea of baptism. Because when I get baptized and I go under that water, you know, I just don't come up and it's life as usual. Now, your life should have changed before then because you accepted Jesus Christ. But baptism actually bumps this thing up to another level. You know, I praise God for his timing, because, you know, Mark and I didn't talk about showing the Voice of the Martyr DVD. You know, there was no communication as far as, you know, I'm going to be preaching this on this Sunday. Can we show it on this Sunday? That's just the way the Lord works. You know, the Lord is so good, and the Lord is powerful. And so when you look at that, you see individuals that made a stand for Jesus Christ. They identified with Jesus Christ. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. And the thing about their discipleship, it cost them something. You know, the problem with us in America is that our discipleship don't cost us anything. You know, we can tiptoe through the tulips, and we can skip the church on Sunday morning, hear a sermonette by a preacherette, smoking a cigarette, and leaving driving the Corvette, right? So, you know, we can come and just have a nice little service and leave and go on our way. But we need to realize that around the world, people are being persecuted and they're suffering for their faith. And that when they get baptized, you know, it's not just, well, I'm going down into the water and I'm around a bunch of friendly individuals and, you know, they're going to clap when I go down and come up. But I'm doing what? I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. And if you go back and study Matthew 28, that's the essence of there. Baptizing. He said, go make disciples and do what? Baptize them. Because when they're being baptized, they are identifying with me. They are understanding, you know, that, hey, you're bumping this thing up another level. And so, you know, when you get immersed, you're getting immersed into discipleship. And you're coming up saying that I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I think that if we begin to look at things that way, that we're going to see that, and I have to be honest with you. You know, I don't think that when I was, you know, talking to my wife yesterday, and, you know, I don't think that when I got baptized, to be honest with you, I don't think I took it this serious. You know, I just think that it was a nice thing to do. You know, you get saved, and, you know, baptism is just a nice thing. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. If you go back and look at the early church, when those folks in the early church got baptized, you know, it wasn't like they were doing it in a corner and then all of a sudden, you know, they were just secret agent Christians. You know, they had their Jesus First pin on the back of their lapel, and when they saw another Christian, they say, yeah, look, I'm a Christian too. No, this thing was out in the open. It was bold, and that when people knew that they identified with Christ, just go back and read the book of Acts and see what happened to them. See what happened to him. I was sharing with some people the other day that when I was growing up, one of my friends, his mom was trying to correct him. And she said, if you don't stop doing what you do, you're going to get what your dad got. And he said, what did he get, Mom? She said, he got dead. That's what he got. And so, you know, that's what the disciples got. Every last one of them died a martyr's death, except one, and that was the Apostle John, and they tried to take his life out, right? They boiled him in a cauldron of oil. It just so happened that, you know, God miraculously spared his life, but if you look at Paul, he was beheaded. If you look at Peter, according to tradition, he was crucified upside down. That when Peter was crucified, he said that I'm not worthy to die the same way that my Lord died, and so he requested to be crucified upside down. But if you go read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you will see that the disciples died martyr's death, and everybody in that early church, they were persecuted or they died a martyr's death. And so when we talk about discipleship, you know, we realize that it's bumping it up to another level. So if you go to that next slide. So when we think about getting baptized, I'm asking the question, what are we getting baptized into? And again, you know, for those of you who may be raising an eye, brow at what I'm saying this morning, you know, I realize that the average person, and I'm including myself in it, that we don't really understand all this whenever we get baptized. So I'm putting myself in there because I was the same way. But when we think about what am I being baptized into, when I get baptized, when I'm immersed, what am I being immersed into? So if you look around our sanctuary, we have these brown signs with white letters on them. And so this has been up for years. And these are the marks of a disciple. These are the marks of a disciple. So when I get baptized and I come up out of the water, what am I saying to people? That I'm a convert of Jesus Christ. I'm not a convert of Muhammad. I'm not a convert of Buddha. I'm not a convert of Joseph Smith. That when I go in that water, somebody help me now. Somebody help me. Y'all know I'm telling the truth this morning. All right? When I go in that water and I come back out, what am I saying to everybody that's looking? I'm a convert of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we don't like that word convert. We think, what does it mean? It means to become a follower of, right? So I'm a convert of Jesus Christ. So when I go down in the water, I come up saying that. When I go down in the water, in order for me to be a convert, what also do I have to be? All right, if I'm not making sense now, you can get up and walk out, right? No, you don't want to do that because then people will know. Okay, if I'm a convert, then I'm committed to what? I'm committed to learn. Somebody help me this morning. Somebody help me this morning. If I'm a convert, I'm committed to learn about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that means I become what? A student. If I'm a disciple, I'm a student. All right? Oh, I know it's a little rough in here this morning. I know it's a little rough in here. When I come up out of the water, I should understand that I'm not only a convert, I'm not only a student, but that I also am going to go forth and do what? Serve. Woo. Brother Jeff, can you come and stand right here, man? All right. I'm committed to serve. Now, again, we might not understand all that when we get baptized, but the fact of the matter is, let me say this. Those people in that early church, this is what they understood. They understood this. They didn't have the same understanding that we in 2017, sitting in a Baptist church in Pittsburgh, understand. They understood that they were coming up and that they were going to serve. And you see, that's why in John, I'll never forget this verse, the address for this verse, John 6:66, right? So we know that 666 is the number of man, or as some people would say, the number of the Antichrist. John 6:66, you know what it said? That when Jesus started talking about crucifixion and he started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, you know what John 6:66 is? And many of his disciples turned away and followed him no more. Why is that? Because they understood the commitment that it was going to take to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so when they went down in the water, they understood this, that it meant to be a convert, it meant to be a student, it meant to be a servant, and it also meant to be an emulator. And so what is an emulator? It's wanting to be like somebody else. And so when they, Jesus even said this. He said that the student should want to be like who? His master. Jesus said that. If Jesus is your master, then you should want to be like who? Jesus. So when you get baptized and you come up out of the water, you should be saying that I want to be like Jesus. That's my goal in life. I want to be like Jesus. And then the last thing is an apostle. Now, again, I know I'll probably get in trouble by saying this, but let me go ahead and say it. There were only 12 apostles. There's only 12 apostles. All right, I'm gonna let that go. But if you go back and you look at the Greek word apostolos, where we get the word apostle from, anybody know what it means? One who was sent, right? One who was sent out. That's what the word apostle means. One who was sent out. So did Jesus save us so that we could sit soak and sour? No. He saved us to go out. He saved us to go out. So when I get baptized, when I'm immersed and I come up out of that water, I need to realize that I'm going to be one who is now going out on my job, in my community, in my home to do what? To represent Christ. Now, that don't mean that I take my Bible and beat people over the head with it. That don't mean that I witness to everybody on my job, including the doorknob. That's not what it means. That means that now I go out and I'm a sent one and I represent my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we talk about a disciple, this is what a disciple is. So you ask me now, with that said, why am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Let me give you four reasons why I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first reason that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and again, I didn't understand all this when I got saved. I didn't understand all this, I'll be honest with you. But the more I think about it and the more I reason this thing out, you know, why would I be a disciple of Christ more than a disciple of anybody else? And let's be honest, that if you're a Muslim, you're a disciple of Muhammad. Now, you worship Allah, but you are a disciple of Muhammad. If you are a Mormon, you are a disciple of Joseph Smith, right? So you are a disciple of the leader or the founder of the faith that you're in. So I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And why am I a disciple of Christ? Number one, because the testimony of Christ's sinlessness. The testimony of Christ's sinlessness. No other religious leader lived a sinless life. Listen to this. Other religious leaders, they had messages of violence. They did deeds of destruction. They had immoral relationships. Muhammad married a 7-year-old girl and had sex with her when she was 9 years old. Now, you tell me how that's right. Now you say, well, come on, Pastor, go research it. Go read this. That's no secret. They had a lack of integrity. They have false prophecies. Jesus Christ is the only one. You go study every leader, and bring me back one who lived a sinless life. If I'm going to be a disciple of somebody, I'm going to be a disciple of somebody who's not like me. I'm going to be a disciple of somebody who didn't have the past that Pastor Glaze had. I'm going to be a disciple of someone who walked this earth and lived a sinless life. You know, it must have been something to grow up in the home of Jesus for his brothers and sisters. And so don't let people tell you that he didn't have any other brothers and sisters.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Reasons I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Reasons I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Reasons I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Reasons I Am a Disciple of Jesus Christ. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.